That's one of my favorites of yours. Oh, it's so sweet. I love it so much. Hey, everybody.
Hi,
love you guys.
Love you too.
So the topic today is love is a battlefield. And the first thing that came to my mind is that Pat Benatar song, you know. Love is a battlefield. She rocks out. You know, Pam's right. It is love. It's because love hurts. And love is tough. And love is, you know, on Valentine's Day, it's painted as flowers and roses and romance. And chocolate, all these sweet things. But we know from being in the human body that love is tough. Yeah, there's some beautiful moments and everything. But, you know, think about it this way. When the greatest thing that can happen to a woman is having a baby come out of her body, right? This is a baby. It's being born. This teaches you what love is. But childbirth is painful, okay? I'm warning you right now. Yep. And being a mom does not get any easier. It's just like the whole way. But it teaches us love. It teaches us that love is beyond the daily ups and downs. And that's the whole point of life. It teaches us the love that we are divinely connected to, that we are ourselves, essentially. That is essentially who we are. And, you know, would we get there had we not had these trials and tribulations? I don't think so. Because we'd just be like, oh, okay, this is just the way it is. But when you have to work for it, show up for it, yeah, be present, you know, use your higher knowledge, practice all the patience and those kind of things that we have to learn. That's how we learn about what love is. And we go through heartache. We go through grief. We go through loss, and this is all the lessons of life that we go through to get to the place where we want to be, to get from being a seeker to being a seer. So here's my little plug of the day. I wrote a new book. Another new book, not the one from last time, another one. It's out on Amazon. It's called It's All the Same I. How many times have you guys heard me say that, right? I'm like, this is the book I'm going to write. It's All the Same I, The Journey from Seeker to Seer. And then the cover line is Vedanta's Ancient Secrets to Awakening.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's so new that I don't even have a copy yet. It's in the mail from Amazon. But you can get it on Amazon, and I'll bring more to you later. But in there, I talk a little bit about these soul agreements that we have with each other and how these relationships we have in our lives, the ones we learn the most from, are the relationships that hurt us the most, the relationships that push our buttons. And that's part of the soul agreement. This is part of what we signed up for in this life. We are here as students, and we are here as teachers, and we are here as partners in this soul agreement that, you know, on the other side we made. Like, okay, last time I was your dad, and you were my daughter, and this is what happened, and I think we need to reverse roles next time. Okay, sure, sign me up for that, because I think I can do better than you did, or whatever it is, right? And we flip it. I think these things happen quite often. And I think we're feeling it a lot right now in 2025, because lots of reasons. But 2025 numerologically is a 9 year, a number 9 year. It's a year of completion. We're completing this, you know, 10 year cycle. This is a big deal that we're completing this. And what happens with completion? With completion, you slough away, you get rid of, you release everything that doesn't serve you. You rise above it, so to speak, okay? You learn your lesson and you rise above it. You get to a higher plane now. We've gone like this. Now it's time to plateau a little bit. We've reached our new peak. And since this is a 9 year, now starting in September, we're going into the last quarter. So we've had 9 months now up to, you know, through August of the build up to it. Now we're just coming over the edge of the peak and we can do it. This is the last 3 months are going to be seeing the fruits of our efforts. Saying, okay, we did all that hard work. Now, time to breathe before we decide how to move forward in 2026. So this 3 months, and it's just really critical. Right now, we're at the end of August, the new moon is in Virgo. So this is all metaphysical stuff, but this is important too. And we have 1 month of Virgo, which is the universe telling us to pay attention. Pay attention. What do you want new to come in? Now that we've shed all the rest of the stuff that we don't need, what do we want new to come into our lives? What is our plan going forward? And we have to think about how are we going to prepare? What are we going to do with all of this? Well, the Buddha had a suggestion. There's a story about a Buddhist monk. And he was carrying just a cup of coffee, walking through the grounds of the monastery, just enjoying his morning, when someone bumps into him and he spills his coffee. Why did he spill his coffee? What would be your answer to that? Why did he spill his coffee? He didn't have a lid on it. Okay, you're right. He didn't get it at Starbucks. There was no lid. Most people say he spilled his coffee because somebody bumped into him. But he spilled coffee. He spilled coffee because coffee was in his cup. So we need to understand that when somebody bumps into us, what's going to spill out is whatever is in our cup. Wow. Are we filling our cup with anger? Are we filling our cup with resentment? Are we filling our cup with entitlements, fear, or what? You know, why don't we fill our cup with love and joy and peace and contentment? So that when somebody bumps into me, whatever spills out is, oh, it's so fine. It's interesting too, because I was thinking about this story yesterday when I was in Whole Foods and I'm pushing my cart and I'm looking at something, not paying attention, like total me, ADD woman, and I forgot to get this stuff, and I'm pushing my cart, and I bammed into another guy's cart. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. The guy was so nice. Oh, that's quite all right. He goes, at least we didn't get in a car accident. I mean, I was like, he gets it. he's practicing. He has love in his cup, you know, and that's what spilled out. He wasn't mad. He didn't say, watch where you're going or anything. He was so sweet. And that just, I mean, it's just a small little thing. And obviously, I didn't mean to go into his car. It's like I did it intentionally, but it was a pretty big bang, you know. And so that whole thing made me go, yeah, that is such a way of being that we need to carry forward. We need to fill our cup with love and patience, you know, and tolerance and acceptance. But at the same point, Krishna says in the Gita that forgiveness is for mistakes. Forgiveness is not for intentional actions. We don't need to practice forgiveness to practice peace. So politically, I hate to bring this up all the time, but unfortunately it's still going on, so we still need to bring it up. These people who are doing the wrong thing with the wrong intention, intentionally, they know it's wrong and they're doing it anyway, and they're hurting people. We don't have to forgive them. We need to stand up for the people who are being hurt. That is the loving thing to do. That is kindness in practice. And when people hurt us intentionally, we don't have to forgive them. We do have to find peace. But, you know, like Bill and I were talking this morning, when their hand is still on the knife in your back, how are you going to forgive that person? You know, they're not apologizing. They think what they did was right. You don't have to forgive them, but you do have to find peace within yourself. And how you do that is up to you. Totally up to you. Never, this is from Gauranga Das. He's a Bhakti Swami in India. Gauranga Das says, never regret the love you give. The universe has its own way of returning it back to you. So it may not be in the way you think. You know, that person who harmed you may not come begging for forgiveness. I'm sorry, I love you. You know, but it may come in other ways. Like the guy in the grocery store, when I banged him, he had the perfect response, you know? Yeah. Could have been a lot worse. Hey, no problem. This is nothing. We're good. You know? So think about that. Love is expressed three ways, through our relationships, human relationships. Through our creativity. What do we love to do, right? Bill loves to write songs. You can feel the love in his lyrics and in the music. That's a way he shares love with the world. Other people like to paint, and you can see, you know, God in the paintings that they paint. Other people like to write. Other people like to bake. Other people like to, you know, be of service to the church. All of these are amazing, miraculous ways of expressing love in our human relationships, in our creativity. And then in devotion, it's the love we share with the divine. And really, that is all the same thing. When we're being creative, when we're serving our human relationships, we're also showing love to the divine. And think about when Jesus was on the cross. And he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Jesus did not say, I forgive you, you Roman soldiers that put nails in my body. He didn't say that. He left it up to God to forgive them, knowing that that is God's job. He's not judging them. It is what it is. he's not blaming them either. It just is what it is. This is what needed to happen for humanity to move forward, to learn its lesson. He was accepting of the whole thing. But he didn't say, I forgive you. No, he said, Father, forgive them. That's God's job. The other thing that Jesus did, I'm like big on Jesus right now, because I just watched season 5 of The Chosen, The Last Supper. Did you guys watch that? Oh my gosh, it's so good. I mean, if you haven't watched it all, start at season 1, because this is, to me, this is the best thing that's happened to TV in our lifetime. This is incredible. And it's not just for Christians. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. So I'm a big Jesus fan right now. But also, when Jesus was on the cross, the last act that he did before he passed was he saw his mother crying for him, suffering, because she saw her son suffering. She was in pain. So he said to one of his disciples, disciple, this is your mother. Take care of her for me. And he said to his mother, mother, this is your son now. He'll take care of you. What an act of love and service. And that's who he was thinking about, other people. Even when he's suffering and he's in pain, he was thinking of other people and thinking of the big picture. It's quite remarkable. And in bhakti, we think love and devotion. And Ramakrishna talked about love as sugar. Some people want to taste sugar. So you see sugar as separate than you, because you want to taste it, the sweetness. And then, so some people choose to see God as separate from us. That's, you know, duality. And that's perfectly fine, to see God as somehow separate from us. But some people say, I don't want to taste sugar. I want to be sugar. And then that's where there's non-duality, that it's all us, that we are sugar, that you don't have to have the sugar to put in your mouth. You can just close your eyes and you taste the sugar, because that is what you are. It's quite remarkable. So, okay, I have this whole other thing, but now I'm running out of time. This always happens to me. Okay, but I want to read from the Bible, Corinthians. This you often hear at weddings or blessings. And I just wanted to kind of give a little science of mind spin on it a little bit. Okay? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. No ego in love. It's not about the ego. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's an important word. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. What they mean by that is, where there are prophecies, where there are doubts, where there are guesses, it will be replaced with the higher knowledge. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. We don't know everything, so we can't stand in judgment of anything. We don't know people's lives. We don't know the background. We don't know what God's infinite plan is. But God does. So having that faith and trust in God is the important thing. Because then we have complete faith. Then we are complete. Goes on to say, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection in the mirror. Then, meaning when we are in completeness, when we are united with God, when we are enlightened, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in parts, I know some things, right? Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Krishna says, know who you are. In this, Jesus is saying, know who you are. Be fully known. And now these three remain. When you are fully known and you know fully, these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it is. Om Tat Sat.